This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 251.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I've got a great interview for you with Jo Saunders. And she's going to be talking about how you can turn LinkedIn conversations into sales. But before we get to the main part of the show, just a reminder about my live event, Media Influence Live. So it's happening in London on July the 5th and 6th. So that's 2018 if you're listening in the future. And it's your chance to get in a room for the day with some really high profile journalists and media influencers. So we've got speakers from the likes of The Guardian, from Grazia magazine, from BBC Radio 5 Live, also from ITV's Good Morning Britain, also from The Sun's Fabulous magazine. And we've also got Emma Gannon, who's the host of the hugely successful Control Alt Delete podcast. She's going to be talking about how you can build your media influence through podcasting, and she's certainly done just that. We've also got Charlotte Jacklin, who's the founder of Betty magazine, and she's going to be talking about how you don't need to wait around to be picked by the media. You can actually start your own magazine or publication. So we're looking forward to that. Also got Jessica Dante going to be talking about building influence on YouTube. So that's our day one. And if you've been to the event before, you'll know that it's not one of these events where you come and you listen to the speakers. I actually get them to sit with you. If you're a delegate, I get them to stay around for lunch and break so you can ask them any questions, introduce yourself, get personal tips. And we also have a really popular speed networking session in the afternoon. So we basically rotate the speakers around the table. So you will get to meet every single speaker, introduce yourself, ask questions. So it's really, really valuable. Day two, we really focus in on the strategy. So if day one is about finding out what you need to do to build your influence, day two is really about the kind of how to, let's actually make this happen. So we've got some really, really practical content on day two about how to pull together a media strategy. So how to put yourself forward to journalists on magazines, newspapers, radio and TV, but also to podcasts that you'd love to be featured on, to event organisers, to events that you'd like to speak at. So we really kind of drill down into pitching and putting yourself forward, and also getting used to being in the spotlight, which can be hard when you're just starting out particularly. So we've got Jessica Dante. She's going to be talking about exactly that. So how to get comfortable with being in the spotlight. We've got Andrew and Pete. They're going to be talking about how to get anyone to say yes to you. So really kind of practical pitching tips there. And I'll also be doing a practical pitching workshop as well. So day one is really about the what you need to do. Day two is the how to, the practical strategy. So I'd like every delegate to go away with a plan on how they're going to build their media influence over the next 3, 6, 9, and 12 months. So I do know it's a big decision to decide whether or not to come along to a live event. There's obviously money involved and time involved. So always happy to answer any questions that you've got about the event. So just drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk and me or my team will get back to you as soon as we can and help you with your question. Joining me on the show today is Jo Saunders. So Jo is a social media and content strategist based in Perth in Australia. Now, I actually bumped into her in a hotel lobby at Social Media Marketing World in San Diego last month. And we just got chatting about LinkedIn. So I thought it would be great because she was speaking about LinkedIn at the event. I thought it would be great to get her onto the show to talk about something that I've been thinking about for a while. And I know that it's relevant to you, and it's how to turn LinkedIn conversations into customers. So I hope you're going to be able to help with that, Jo. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So might you be able to start by telling us a little bit about you and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So I run a business called Wildfire Social Marketing, and I focus more on LinkedIn than any other platform, but it's really about helping people get found, remembered, and chosen to build their visibility, authority, and influence. And LinkedIn's the primary tool I use.
Can you tell us how you got to specialize in LinkedIn? What was it about LinkedIn that really kind of captured your interest?
It was sort of accidental, I suppose. I started off my background's event marketing and management, so I've managed conferences. So, you know, 10 years ago, if you said I'd be speaking on the stage at the largest social media conference in the world, I would have laughed. I would have been more into the organizing of it and the back end. But I've sort of fallen into marketing through events and fallen into LinkedIn purely from having a mad curiosity. I'm always pressing buttons, investigating. And for me, it's the reason I love it is because it's about the professional side of social media. So it's still about personality, but it's about those built business relationships. And it's about career as opposed to Facebook, which is pretty much everything in life.
Yeah, yeah. I think LinkedIn's had a bit of a bad rap, hasn't it, in the past? And I mean, I'm pretty active on LinkedIn, and actually I get really good traction and really good engagement on LinkedIn. But I feel like until recently, it was kind of seen as this kind of stuffy corporate platform. Things are really changing, aren't they?
Well, absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing, I think, that people saw as the boring uncle that really, you know, that sat in a corner by himself, not talking to anybody of the social media platforms. But it's certainly become a lot more social, which is great. So you'll see people often saying things like, oh, LinkedIn's becoming like Facebook. But that's a good thing, because that's where we build relationships, in the social aspect.
Yeah, definitely. And if you're listening and you're a newbie for LinkedIn, we're not going to kind of get into the kind of how to get started with LinkedIn, like how to fill out your profile and the difference between the different types of content that you can post on there. I've got a couple of episodes that you might want to go and listen to. So I've got episode 185 with Mark Williams, which is basically about how to get started on LinkedIn and all the different sort of pieces and how they work together. And I've also got a solo episode that I did, episode 198, on how to get more engagement on LinkedIn. But what I really want to kind of drill down on in this episode is, so you get active on LinkedIn, as lots of my clients have, and you're starting conversations, and the best way to do that, I think, is through posts. So to posting like you would on Facebook, like starting conversations, posting interesting things that you've seen or read or whatever. But how do you actually take those conversations and those connections that you make and start turning them into customers?
That's a really great question. So you, part of that equation is being active firstly. So if you've spent a lot of time building a perfect profile and you're not using it, then you're kind of wasting that part of that opportunity. So it's about being in conversations, but not being in conversations with the primary purpose of selling, because people don't like being sold to. And you'll see this, I mean, it doesn't just apply to LinkedIn, actually, it applies to any platform, but often you'll see people that connect to you, and the first thing you get are those messages saying, you know, I'm the number one, blah, 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 buy my stuff, book my workshop. And I even get them from LinkedIn trainers across the other side of the globe inviting me to their event. I think, have you not checked out who I am and, you know, like where I'm located? Am I a target customer for you? So it starts with listening and researching and understanding not only who your target market are, but how are you going to then, you know, engage with people on LinkedIn? And part of it is posting. So posting is a huge part of the strategy. But more so than ever now, it's about engaging with other people's content. So it's not just about constantly talking at your audience, but talking with them, I like to call it. Because I guess the hardest thing to measure on LinkedIn is that sort of conversation to customer journey, because it's different for everybody. And LinkedIn doesn't give you any great metrics to track it. So you need other tools to do that. But it's a longer game, I suppose, is what I'm saying. So it's about constantly being in conversation, understanding who your clients are, how you can add value to their business world and that relationship building, so that when they do need you, you're top of mind, because you've been there in a conversational manner as opposed to a salesy manner.
One thing I've really noticed on LinkedIn myself is, I mean, I saw for a time a lot of people just posting like their blog posts, their podcast episodes, so content that they created, which might be very useful, but actually doesn't really get very much engagement. And so one thing that I do with my content, so I just try and think about, I notice on any social media platform, actually, so if I've got a new podcast episode out or new blog or whatever it might be, it could be really brilliantly useful. But if I just post a link to it, and we could talk more about links and LinkedIn in a second, but just post a link to it and say, here's my new podcast episode, I might get one or two people say, oh, I'll have a listen to that later, or that sounds good. So I really try and think about how I can start a conversation around that particular piece of content. So just to give you an example, a couple of episodes ago, I had an interviewee on my podcast who had become an Instagram star at 70. And it's really kind of interesting interview. Susie Grant, really interesting lady. I can link to it in the show notes. And I thought, how can I get people to talk about this topic without just posting and saying, hey, I've got a new podcast episode, go and listen to it. So I asked a question on LinkedIn and I said, when are you going to retire? And I said, you know, I don't know about you, but I can't imagine ever retiring. I'm already on my third career And I just can't imagine ever wanting to retire, but I'm really interested to know what you think. I gave some options. I said, you know, yes, as soon as possible, I'm going to retire. B was, I'm not sure. I like the idea of semi-retirement. C, I'll never retire. I love my work. And I basically gave some options. It got so much engagement. And I feel there's lots of different things going on there. But the main thing was, I think it's because I turned it round on the audience and asked them to get involved in the conversation. And then I just put a little link and said, by the way, this is the topic of, you know, my latest podcast episode. Go and have a listen. And that for me felt like it was a much better way to promote my content. Is that the kind of thing that you're seeing working better on LinkedIn?
Well, absolutely. If you ask questions, I mean, that's a great way to engage your audience. And the easier it is for people to answer that question, the better. So the fact that you've gone to the good old, well, I'm showing my age here, but the good old Jackie or whatever magazine is current these days. I'm thinking Jackie because I grew up in England. You know, there's Jackie polls where, you know, the A, B or C. It's so easy to pick one of those. And if you give, obviously, answers that are, generally, going to be picked, or you might have D, other, give people room to say something else. But give them an easy way to engage with you. Another example I see of that kind of strategy being used is the, which logo should I use or which book cover should I use, A or B? And people just want to have an opinion on which profile photo should I use. That works really well. But one thing I do find with engaging posts, and this comes down to LinkedIn's algorithm, is that some testing I've done with some colleagues, and Mark Williams, you mentioned before, he's one of those people. We do a lot of testing and we knowledge share between us in a private group. And one thing we found is that when you use external links, so links to, say, podcasts or YouTube videos or blog posts, the engagement and visibility and the reach isn't anywhere near where there's no link. So text only, because LinkedIn want to keep the conversation on LinkedIn. So, and the algorithm is a whole other conversation.
Yeah. But I mean, certainly something that I've experienced and I've experimented a little bit, like, so not putting links in my posts. I find they generally work better without images, but it can, if I'm doing something like, you know, which logo do you like best, then that can work really, really well. And I might add the link as people are replying. I might go back and add the link as people are getting back to me.
Yeah. And that's perfect, because you're doing it to promote, if it's your podcast, for example, to promote that link, but putting it in the initial post may penalize it in some ways. So while it's getting a lot of engagement, it might have got more without it. So, but the workaround then is to put it in the comments where you're replying to someone, telling them where to go, to find it.
And really interesting, I was listening back to one of the sessions from Social Media Marketing World with Guy Kawasaki. And he was saying, I thought this was really interesting, we'd love to get your views on it actually, that he sometimes posts the same post twice on LinkedIn and pretty much gets double the engagement. And he said something like, you know, you might well think, well, Guy, doesn't anybody come back to you and say, why have you just posted that twice? And he said, no one ever does. And different people see it at different times, and he gets twice the engagement. Have you seen anybody else see anything like that?
Yeah, well, I've seen a few people do that where they've got scheduled content, particularly because, I mean, you can use different tools to auto post your content. But that's the thing. People aren't sitting waiting for your content. They may see it at different times. So it depends on who it is. And with LinkedIn, with the algorithm, often you have LinkedIn set by default to top post. So sometimes you'll see things multiple times. So if that person posted it twice and you saw it at different times, you might just think it's the same post anyway. So you may not realize it's actually two different posts. So it's something you can get away with.
Yeah, something you can probably experiment a little bit with. And something I've experimented with is with comments as well, and sort of going back. If I've got a popular post, I might go back and maybe answer to 15, 20 comments, and then that will sort of tell the algorithm that it's busy again and it seems to get seen by more people. And then I might go back a little bit later and reply to a few more. I might tag a few people in when I go back and say, oh, I thought you might actually think this was interesting. So there's lots of things to do. And that's one of the things I love about LinkedIn. I feel like you can really experiment, and it's fun just to see how things are going to go.
Absolutely. And doing that, going back and reigniting something, particularly if it's something you think would have more traction, but maybe just people haven't seen it, tagging them brings people into focus. And also, you know, and then if they engage again, it's then telling LinkedIn that people are interested and they'll show it again. Now, the other thing to get some attention, particularly right now, is video, because video was rolled out to LinkedIn profiles last year and across both mobile and desktop. And now company pages have got video. There's been some big announcements this week. When I actually presented at Social Media Marketing World, I think it was the night before when I was doing my last minute research, as I do, just to check things, I discovered a couple of pages already had video. So that's another way to gain some attention.
Mm. And in terms of, I actually haven't done too much with native video just yet. What kind of content are you seeing working really well with native video?
Now, one of the things, and this is something else that Mark Williams has been testing as well on his profile, is there's a stat, and I can't remember what it is exactly, but it's more than 50% of people are looking, I think it's 70% of people are using LinkedIn on mobile, and more than half are using it with sound off. So if you're talking on a video and it's just a video of you facing the camera, then you're going to miss out, you know, on that opportunity. So Mark was testing using captions, and there's various tools on your mobile phone you can do, you know, you can add captions to your video. So that's a nice way to engage people, because people can then be watching it without having to stop and plug headphones in or whatever. And if you've got the captions where you're asking questions once again, you can get that engagement because you're not just talking at them again, you're talking with them.
Okay, so that's interesting, because that's something I haven't tried before, is actually, so taking some of those, one of my most popular posts on LinkedIn ever was, what's your Starbucks name? And basically I said, when I go into Starbucks, I don't like to use my name, I make one up because I don't like them hollering my name across Starbucks. And you wouldn't believe, I mean, it was like, I think it got to about 100,000 views in the feed or something.
I think I saw that one, actually. That rings a bell.
And I think it worked on lots of different levels, because it kind of, obviously some people hate Starbucks, so anything that some people hate is always going to rile them. Some people generally had an experience to share, so they were like, oh, yes, I use a fake name. Or some people said, what's wrong with just using your name? And it just kind of went on. It just kept going. But I guess I could take those kind of posts and create them as video and just present them in a different way.
Well, absolutely. And with video, you've got up to 10 minutes, but no one's watching 10-minute video unless it's really engaging. And generally, that's more educational. So you want to keep them fairly short, like 30 seconds to maybe 90 seconds if you can. Create something in person that's not overly processed. So we don't, you know, not talking in a studio with fancy lighting and that sort of stuff, but just real and in the moment. That sort of stuff works really well, where you're making an announcement, you're taking people behind the scenes, or you're asking some questions, you know, as part of your research. That can work really well.
So say, for example, next week I'm going to speak at the London Book Fair. I think it's next week, a week after. And so would you suggest something like that? So taking some footage of me at the London Book Fair, talking about what I'm going to be talking about, or asking some questions or whatever. So kind of live behind the scenes stuff.
I mean, you could do this, a couple of different videos you could do there. You could do one beforehand where you're talking to camera, just saying, you know, showing people behind the scenes, or, you know, maybe around the venue or something. You know, you'll find an angle that's of interest. And then you could do another video afterwards, maybe summarizing your top 3 points, because that's a nice way for people that weren't there. And the thing to keep in mind with video, while it's native, it's not live. So it's not like Facebook Live. You're not live streaming. So you've got the ability then to, you can record it on the app. There's some filters. You can put text over on the app now, which is fairly new. But you could actually just record it on your smartphone. And then I use a tool called Splice. And I use that to put some words over. You can put music in, you can add top and tail it with your logo. So you can make it look a little bit branded and then post it afterwards. But if you'd use, but with events, I run an event in Perth called LinkedIn Local. It's all over the world, but we're hosting the event here. And we've been creating some videos, you know, just of the event to capture. And people love seeing themselves on video. So if they're featured, you know, you've got the ability to tag them, and you can do the whole Where's Wally thing, kind of, you know, are you in this video? And then tag the people that actually are in the video. So for an event you're speaking at, you could do the same thing if you've got, you know, obviously if that's okay with filming, do a sort of short video, and then, yeah, and then do another one with your top 3 tips, but mention that particular organization. So on LinkedIn, then you can actually tag the organization or the company that you've spoken for. You know, there's a lot of ways of bringing people into conversation and asking, I mean, then maybe asking the audience, if there was a 4th tip, what would you want to know, or something like that?
Okay, fab. So, I mean, what we're talking about here, I guess, is the first stage in the sales process, aren't we? Because we're talking about kind of having conversations, building relationships with people, you know, helping people to understand kind of what you're about. And it's funny, because whenever I talk about these examples of stuff that I do on LinkedIn that works really well, people often say, but a lot of it hasn't actually got that much to do with your business, or some of it does. Feel like if people can sort of get to know you as a person, and then you can kind of make that connection, and people, you know, you may be in business, but people are still people at the end of the day, and they've got opinions and stories to share and ideas.
Well, that's it. I mean, because if people can get that feeling that they've met you before, and I got this at Social Media Marketing World, many people I met, it was the first time I was meeting them in person, but I felt like I already knew them through their content on social, particularly on LinkedIn. So if you can capture that essence of who you are, obviously it's in a professional capacity, not you on a weekend at the pub. That's not going to come across on LinkedIn, I hope. Leave that for Facebook. But it allows you to build that relationship faster. So going back to the topic conversation, build, you know, taking people on that journey to becoming customers. If you do this on a regular basis, so you're generating your own content, but then you're also engaging with other people's content. So if, when I work with clients, particularly in my training, I'll get them to create a list of, say, 10 or 20 people that they'd like to work with in the next, you know, the next few months. They're the people you want to be going to their profiles, having a look at their activity, what are they sharing, what are they engaging with, and where can you then engage with them? You know, some of that conversation is going to be public, some may be private, but then at some point it might be appropriate to tee up a meeting with them, whether it be in person or virtual, you know, to take them on that journey so that they already know who you are, they already know a bit about you. So it's not like a sales call then, it's more of a touching base with a colleague or a friend. And hopefully they'll come to you rather than you having to go to them.
Yeah, that's interesting because I think we all hate it. And I hate it when I connect with somebody on LinkedIn and they immediately send me some kind of sales email. I mean, I got an email actually in my inbox the other day from somebody saying, here are the details as you requested on LinkedIn of my video editing service. And I thought, I didn't ask for those details and you've actually emailed me and, you know, you're trying to trick me. And I didn't reply to it, but you're trying to trick me and pretend that I've asked you for these details and I haven't asked for them at all. So I think I often like to think of it as like a dating analogy. Like, you know, if you just walk up to somebody in the bar and come up with your best kind of one-liner chat-up line without warming them up first, you're probably not going to get a great response. So I think what you're saying is if have that sort of almost shortlist that you've created, your spreadsheet of people you really want to connect with, maybe comment on some of their stuff, like their stuff, get involved in conversations with them, and then maybe start conversations maybe via DM or whatever about maybe having a conversation. That's the bit I think a lot of people find hard. Have you got any tips on kind of like, you know, you've been warming people up on, you know, by commenting on their stuff, liking their stuff, sharing whatever, building that relationship. Any tips on kind of moving to that next stage?
One thing I find with LinkedIn is LinkedIn doesn't have any way of managing that relationship. I mean, they used to, but they took the feature away. I'm talking in the free version or even premium. So it's really, and I'm saying, you know, create a spreadsheet, a list, whatever it is. I use a tool called Nimble to manage relationships and I can set reminders and that sort of thing. Nimble, I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but Nimble is a social CRM and you build a record, you can do it from LinkedIn and it brings in all the other social media, which allows you then, so while I'm talking about LinkedIn now, if you're building a relationship with somebody, you want to know a bit more about them. So this allows you to see, you know, what they do on Facebook, what they do on Twitter, on Instagram. So you can build up a more rounded picture. Now, it sounds a bit stalkerish, but it's all public data. You're just gathering it together. But then it helps you, if you're building the relationship using LinkedIn, for example, it just helps you get to know them a bit more. And, you know, you can drop things in. So a good example, and you might know this guy, Tim Hughes. He's a social selling expert in the UK. His book, Social Selling, he mentions how he built a relationship with actually the CEO of Nimble, John Ferrara, who's also a friend of mine. And they connected because they both love vinyl. And that's not something you'd see on their LinkedIn profile. That comes up on Instagram or Facebook. So it's getting to know more about people. So you've got something in common. Now, if you can bring it into your profile, then that's even better. So if you've got in your summary, for example, a little bit about something about what you do outside of work or something you're passionate about, I call it your quirks. It allows you to connect. But then, because if you've got that thing in common, you can then pick up a conversation and sort of ask them about the thing. It's got nothing to do with business, nothing to do with work, but it allows you to sort of fast track the relationship in a sense. So by you putting that out there about yourself, it allows other people to do that. So a good example, Jennifer Holloway, I'm not sure if you know of her. She's written a book, so Personal Branding for Brits. And I actually use her profile in my workshops. I met her through Mark Williams because I think he was talking about her or she was on his podcast or something.
Yeah, she's been so on
Go on. So I really like how she writes about herself. And she's got a line in her profile where she talks about what she does on a weekend. She talks about being in the Yorkshire Dales, hanging out in her wellies, looking after her bees and chickens or something like that. And so for me, I'm from Yorkshire as well. So I thought, fellow Yorkshire lass, I'm not into bees and chickens, but I'm curious about the bees. So I asked her a question about beekeeping. and it led to us, you know, conversing. So you never know what people were seeing. So you can build that relationship. Now, you know, in terms of building a customer relationship, that's different because we're more colleagues than me being a client of hers. But if you're building that relationship with a customer, it's just getting to know them a little bit more and being of service. So rather than selling to them, asking how you can help them, maybe just randomly just saying, you know, what are you struggling with, you know, in your marketing or whatever it is you do, or just asking them a question and or giving them something so that when they're ready, they'll ask you for help.
So one thing that I do, and actually I kind of do it under the radar. I tend to do it just when I get asked, but I do media training. So I do radio and TV training, and I hook up with a BBC journalist or an ITV journalist, and we'll go to, it's often universities, colleges, charities, and we'll go in for the day and we'll train their team on how to be on the telly and how to be on the radio. But I don't really promote it on my website because my main audience is small business owners. I don't really want to confuse things. But that's something I often think, oh, do you know what? You know, it's really enjoyable work. And actually, it's a day's work. You go in, you do it, and it's finished, and off you go. And so, I find it quite enjoy doing it. But LinkedIn seems to me like it would be a great place for me to find more media training clients because I generally just kind of do it by referral at the moment. So what would your suggestion be? So obviously I'd start off with my spreadsheet of, you know, so I've worked with lots of universities and charities, so that would probably seem like a good place to start. What would your suggestion be about how I leverage something like LinkedIn to attract those kind of clients to me?
Well, I'd bring it into your profile somewhere. So feed it into your summary in terms of where you're talking about what you do. And you might mention media training, so that would help you come up in search. You might engage in some conversations about it. But if you're looking to do more outreach, you've got to ask questions about, you know, are they aspiring to be in the media or have they been in the media recently? Maybe just ask, just to sort of, I suppose you'll gather some information. And if they they have been on the media already, you know, ask how they went and where they were struggling or if there are anywhere they could improve. And then you could just drop in that you happen to do media training and, you know, at the appropriate time, not obviously not straight away.
But maybe kind of a week or two later, you could send a message saying, I know you said about this and it's, you know, funny enough, I've just updated my media training video or something like that. You know, is it worth us having a chat about this at some time? Something like that.
Yeah, well, you're actually giving them some information. So if you have got a video on it or a blog or something like that, or even a podcast episode where that's the topic, you could send it to them and just say, look, if you're doing any media training in the next, you know, few months, this might be of help to you. But if you need some one-on-one or some group training, let me know. So it's a very soft, a soft sort of sell, but it's more about helping them.
And you said something earlier, which I thought was really interesting. And you said, you know, in an ideal world, what you really want is for somebody to come to you. And I thought this was really interesting. And I had a podcast guest on recently who is actually an expert on this episode probably will be coming up after this one, I think, but she's an expert in getting yourself on high profile podcasts. And she said to me on this podcast episode, she said, I've been wanting to come on your podcast for ages. And I've been kind of like trying to basically butter you up for ages is what she said. She said, I've been like following you on Twitter. I've been sharing your stuff. I've been, you know, I've basically been kind of following you and stalking you a bit in the nicest possible way. And then what happened was we kind of just met in San Diego. We kind of just like she was leaving a table as I was sitting down to it, and one of our mutual friends kind of introduced us, and I said, oh yeah, I know Nicole, and afterwards I said, oh, I must follow up with her. And basically the long and short of the story is I ended up asking her on my podcast. But when she came on my podcast, she said, I've been trying to get on your podcast for ages, but you didn't realize it. And I was like, I love that. Like, that's just so great, because she just made herself visible to me. And so when I was thinking that would be a really good topic to cover, but at no time did I ever feel she was selling to me. At no time did I ever have any idea that this lady was trying to become a guest on my podcast. And so I love that approach. So yeah, I'd love your thoughts on that, how you can get people to kind of, you know, to come to you.
I like what you just said then, make yourself visible to them. So it's almost stalking in reverse in a sense, like with a different purpose. So if you're constantly engaging with that person in a nice way, not a creepy way, not a buy my stuff, you know, let me you know, be on your podcast kind of way, because then when it comes to a time where you're going to be in either in the same room or in a conversation, or it could be on Twitter, it could be virtual, that person already feels like they know you. And that's pretty much how I got to social media marketing world, because I set that as a goal for one day in probably 3 or 4 years. But they came to me because I've built my brand up that way, and I've been in conversations with people and someone recommended me. So if you can take that strategy for your business, for clients, do the same thing. make yourself visible to them so that they feel that they're getting to know a little bit of you. You've been in the same conversations. And LinkedIn gives you a lot of information. So you can, if you go to someone's profile, look at their activity, you can see where they're engaging. Now, you used to be able to see groups, but that's no longer the case, although things are changing, so it could come back. But you can see which conversations they're engaging in if they are using LinkedIn and just be in the same conversations. So that's what I'm saying. It's like stalking with a purpose, you know. Being where they are, looking at what groups they actually are a member of and joining the groups. Now, groups, like I said, the engagement on groups is down. It's been down for quite a while, but just being in the same places, you know, if they're in the same town as you and they've shared about an event they're going to, go to that event, accidentally bump into them, you know, without big stalkerish.
Yeah. No, and I love the way you were talking about social media marketing world there and how you set that as a goal for yourself. But actually, I think you said something like the way I'd sort of set my business up, the way I've been building a brand, I guess having a very specific specialism as well. And when you were talking, it made me think about a post I put on LinkedIn actually the other day that did really well. And I said on this post, do you know what? I'm really fed up with people emailing me. And that's totally my brand. I'm really fed up with people emailing me and basically telling me what's wrong with my website, all my branding, all my videos or whatever. And they'll send me an email and they say, I've just been looking at your video and I've noticed that this thing is wrong with it. And these are the things that I would do to put it right. Now, while not for a minute would I imagine that anything I do is perfect. I know there's always room for improvement. But when somebody sends me an email or a message like that on LinkedIn, I always feel like not only is it kind of a bit insulting to me because you don't know me, but it's also insulting because I'm already working with a designer and a web designer and a video editor. And it's kind of insulting to their expertise because they're already working with me. And so I posted on this LinkedIn post. It's like, you know, instead of telling me what I'm doing wrong, show me how good you are. Like, put some really great content out there. Like, put some videos out there. You know, like Andrew and Pete, who put really great video content out there. So I want to know who their video editor is. Like, I do know because they've told me. But you know, create some really great work so that people see your blog posts or your podcasts or whatever it is that you're doing or talking about. And they can't help but notice you because you're just doing really good stuff. And then I'm going to come to you and beg you to work with me. And I feel that's kind of what you're getting at is actually being really good at what you do, being really visible, being an expert in your field and an authority and a helpful person rather than kind of trying to pitch people all the time.
Well, that's it. And right now I'll say it's almost accidental, but it's accidentally strategic. It's just been fast track. Like I said, it was a goal for in a few years' time because I didn't think I was anywhere near, you know, well-known enough or ready or good enough or all those things we tell ourselves. But I guess I've been building towards it over time. But it's having a goal and having a vision as to where you're going and just being on purpose with it, but being real about it rather than being trying to orchestrate things. So I said a few things that you can do to sort of stalk, but if you just do that and you're doing it purposely to stalk, then that's not going to work. But it's just being really strategic, not stalkerish. Having a clear goal. And it may not be now, you know, if you, like I said, I'm talking about having even a list of clients you'd like to work with, but they may not be ready for you right now. They may not have seen you enough. They may not know what you do and they may not have sort of witnessed how good you are. So that timeline, it could be in a week's time for somebody, but it could be in a year's time for somebody else. You just don't know. So it's you've got to allow for that because people need to see you. And like you said, it's much more effective if someone sees, you know, catches you doing something good, then comes to you and says, that's really, you know, really bad what you're doing, or it's not good enough. Because you're not going to receive that well. Because it's like, as you said, it's either offending you or offending your team, or you may not have realized it's an issue, but they haven't got your permission. It's unsolicited, and it's not how you build a relationship. So, you know, I could. I mean, when it comes down to connecting with people, I often say, well, people with bad LinkedIn profiles are my potential connections because I could help them. But if I go straight into if I say here's three things that's wrong with your profile, that's not going to help build a relationship with them. If you launch straight into this is what you're doing wrong, whereas if I say here's an article to help you improve your profile, but I'm not being specific. I mean that could be a better way of doing it rather than saying what's wrong.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Was there something else you wanted to add on?
Well. I was just going to say, when you're talking about things that perform well, my best performing article on LinkedIn was, I didn't do it for this purpose, but I was sick of people shopping on price when it comes to LinkedIn training or not understanding what they're looking for. So I thought, how can I help people without just going people, you know, people talking about the problem. So I wrote an article about, I called it How to Spot a LinkedIn Expert in a Crowd. And I named, it was like a checklist for what to look for in a LinkedIn expert. And then I named all the LinkedIn experts I recommend around the world. So I put them in alphabetical order in country. And Mark Williams is on the list and a few others in the UK. But that was my best performing article on LinkedIn. And I think it's because it wasn't about me. It was about everybody else. I was showing, I suppose, that abundance mentality. And the person that recommended me for Social Media Marketing World happened to be on that list, come to think of it now. And I got a lot of traction from that. People just saying, oh, wow, thanks for including me. And, oh, and have you thought about this person? Here's the person I recommend. So a lot of people engage because people like to be seen promoting someone they know.
And that's actually one last thing I wanted to ask you about, actually, was about articles and posts. Now, personally, I found that I do post articles sometimes, but I find my posts do much better. What are your thoughts on articles, the difference between articles and posts in terms of engagement?
Oh, you're right. Posts are, outbeat articles right now. And that's because it's become quite a crowded place. It's very hard to get eyes on the actual article. So I always tell people it's like publishing a blog. If you publish a blog on your website and that's all you do, that's only half the equation. You've got to market that. You know, you need a whole campaign to push it out through Twitter, through Facebook, through LinkedIn, through email, whatever you're doing. Same with LinkedIn articles now. I would certainly still do them. But if all you're doing is publishing it and that one time and not talking about it, it's only half the opportunity. So it's important in terms of your credibility. If you're building your brand as a, you know, leader in your industry, then you need some articles. But I wouldn't be posting articles daily or anything crazy like that. You know, once a month or something could be enough just to establish yourself and use that as a benchmark piece of content to share. And it's something you can share the link to in a message if you're building a relationship with somebody. So for example, I've got an article I wrote a couple of years ago now called LinkedIn in 10 Minutes Over Coffee. And that was my sort of go-to piece when I was building a relationship to say, here's an article I wrote with some things you can do, you know, while you're having your coffee in the morning just to build your brand. But it was a nice piece to sort of share. So I certainly use articles, but I would put more of an effort into posting good content that's engaging, but also engaging with other people.
Yeah, and having conversations with others. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. You've shared so much value. Where can we find you if we want to know more about you?
Well, LinkedIn, obviously. So linkedin.com/in/JoeSaunders or my website's wildfiresocialmarketing.com. But I'm Joe Saunders, AU, everywhere else, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Yeah.
Lovely.
I'm easy to find.
Well, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you're listening right now. And also don't forget about my podcast guide. So this lists all of my podcast episodes to date. They're categorized by theme. So whatever challenge you're facing in your business, then you should be able to find a podcast episode or in fact, several to help you solve your problem. And you can get that at janetmurray.co.uk/podcastguide. So that's janetmurray.co.uk/podcastguide.